Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, this is Pat McAfee, and you're listening to the Complex Sports Podcast, a podcast hosted by three men who are incredibly entertaining. Their words are riveting. And if you're not listening to this, you're an absolute stooge. So be a friend, tell a friend. The Complex Sports Podcast is where it's at. Cheers.
What up, everybody? It's your man, Josh, brand new episode of the Complex Sports Podcast. We are back. After a mini vacation, would you guys call it vacation? We had an episode last week, but it was more of like a compilation best of moments episode. So we are back from that, as always, joined by Adam Caporel, Zion. What's going on, fellas? How are we doing?
There is no vacation.
Yeah, we did record. I mean, it's not like we completely took the week off and just like, you know, got the hell out of town. We did
Get the hell out of town, though.
I did get out of town, like, personally. I would recommend the two of you get out of town also. It's good to get out of New York City.
Get out of town every week. Go to Vermont for some reason.
Why are you keeping tabs on my travel, pal?
It's very question, like you're like you claim you're a New Yorker, but you refuse to stay in New York.
I am a New Yorker.
You're more like a Vermonter.
Not even close. I have a place in Vermont to go to, which I enjoy getting.
I have a place in Vermont to go to. Yes. Look at you, all fancy. Zion, do you know that I am going to the Nets game tonight? We're recording this on Monday.
Don't know.
But who would you blackmail to get tickets?
But I don't. I hope you don't bring us bad vibes and with your presence in the arena.
Your second best player got hurt last game. What other bad vibes can I bring?
They won.
How are you feeling about this series? Let's just jump right into it. You're worried. I know you are. I know how you operate.
No, I'm not worried. I think James Harden, I think the biggest thing that I took away is that there's no structural damage. So there is a chance that he can still come back. We don't know.
You got to take a look at the MRI. They said
there's no structural okay. damage. So, there's a chance. I mean, he comes back. We don't know, but they've been through this the whole season. Like, this is nothing new. Like, this is not old. They've been playing without. They don't know how to play without James Harden. Like, no, they know how to play without James Harden. They know how to play without KD. They know how to play without Kyrie. They've been doing this the whole season. Am I worried that the Bucks are going to win? Yes. But
the series or just game two? What clarify that?
I think the series, just because I think that was always like it was always a toss up. But like I think game one, we kind of reminded them it's still smoke. It's still smoke in Brooklyn. This is not going to be easy for them, but it's going to be tough because they can't shoot like that again. We know that. And Blake Griffin, I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was, but he played. Like
he finally played well, and you're going in on him. Poor Blake.
Yeah, why are you taking shots at Blake?
Yeah,
like serviceable.
He played well. He played well.
No, I'm saying, like, I don't know where that came from. That was crazy.
Oh, so this is like your quasi praise of him.
Adam, you're not on Twitter a lot. Zion likes to tweet that Blake. He doesn't know what Blake is doing on defense.
I'm glad I was off Twitter during game one.
He was the worst defender I've ever seen last series. Like I did not see.
He's not a defender. So that's the thing, though.
When he came to Brooklyn, he was actually competing on defense. And I think once they put him in that starting role, like he just took a step back. And then he got exposed. Jason Tatum, oh my goodness. Every switch, Kemba Walker dropped him. Like, it was just embarrassing. But he played better.
All right, but on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your level of concern?
We need to know the level
injury?
Of concern.
We need a new level
real
of concern
quick,
here, pal.
We're recording this on Monday, before game two.
Yes, 10 being the highest, 1 being of no concern. What is your concern right now?
Give it to us.
5-6.
Should be a little higher, pal.
No, you think so, Adam?
I think 6.5 would be good. Well, yeah.
How much higher? You're acting like should be at an 8. You said 6.5.
I think 6.5 to 7 range would be more appropriate.
But also, you got to also figure out, we didn't have James Harden. We also didn't have Jeff Green. And Jeff Green is huge for that team.
I agree.
When is Green coming back? Because he has plantar fasciitis. That's probably, not like an easy
thing. They said probably game 3.
Okay. So Jeff Green.
Shoot that up a quarter zone and get on the court.
We just jumped right into this. We have Marvin Bagley on this podcast. We recorded with Marvin Bagley a few weeks ago. We will get to that interview in a little bit. We have a lot to talk about. A lot happened in sports. In the Marvin Bagley interview, Coach K retiring is not mentioned because obviously we wouldn't just leave it out. but Coach K retired after that interview. So Zion and Marvin Bagley didn't have like a group like vent cry session together on the pod.
I didn't need Coach no K cry session. I've told people for 5 months that this was rumored. Like this was.
Have you talked yourself into John Schreier yet?
I mean, it is what it is. I think it's good to have someone who's used to the program. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll see. Time will tell.
When do the Brad Stevens rumors start?
Those are dead. Brad Stevens was never going to come to Duke. Does not hire people that have no correlation with the program.
Well, they don't anybody. Coach K's been there for 40 years. They don't hire anybody.
Yeah, but assistant coaches.
Okay. How do you feel about Shire taking over?
Yeah, let's get the raw and uncut actual feelings.
I mean, he doesn't have any coaching experience, doesn't have any experience running a program. So, of course, I was like, yo.
You should be shook then. You should be shook. This is the end of Duke as we know it.
He's a good recruiter, though, right? From what I read, he's a good recruiter.
Yeah, how'd that work out for Kevin Ollie and UConn?
This is not the same.
From what you told me, Kevin Ollie was doing some extracurricular shit. So, let's not even go there.
Allegedly won a championship?
He did.
Yeah, but anyway, like John Shire.
With Calhoun's players.
It's the trend of college basketball that you kind of need someone like him anyway. You need a young coach. You need, you know, guys that are going to relate to players because the players are taking over college basketball. So that's just what it is.
Okay. That's good to know. Okay. So Marvin Bagley, we didn't talk about that with him. Adam, as we move on here, big question. Did you watch the Floyd Mayweather-Logan Paul fight? I know Zion watched it for work. I watched it. Adam, did you watch it? You are our boxing guy. Did you watch the fight?
Hell fucking no.
He's lying. That's a lie.
I'm not
lying.
I don't believe him either. I was in bed by 11 o'clock on Sunday night.
That's a lie, bro.
You didn't watch 1 second of it.
Didn't see 1 second. The only thing I saw this morning were clips that Young Zion posted on Complex Sports Twitter, and I read some of the recaps just to get a feel for what happened, but I had zero desire to see Floyd and Logan throw down. I will say this. If Jean Pascal and Badu Jack had actually fought, it would have been worth buying the $50 pay-per-view. But in my estimation, after Jean Pascal got pinched for PEDs and there was only one legit fight in the car, which is the Arias Heard fight, which actually I heard turned out to be a good fight.
Very good.
See it on the replay of the pay-per-view. But $50 for that pay-per-view of seeing amateur Logan Paul wail like a moron on Floyd Mayweather and Floyd tore around him for a few rounds, I would much rather spend those $50 on a nice bottle of tequila than watching that fucking nonsense. You guys both win this on Sunday night and got fleeced for $50.
I didn't pay anything.
Some illegal streams, did we?
That's what the streets say.
Yeah. So, Adam, you did not watch it. Zion, you watched it.
Didn't see anything.
Give me your thoughts.
I mean, it was terrible. I mean,
it was so bad.
It was so terrible.
It was so bad.
It's like one thing, okay. It's okay. I understand the entertainment aspect. You got to get this is great entertainment for most people. But yeah, we wanted, me personally, I need to see a knockout. Number one, Floyd, you saw what Nate Robinson, what happened to Nate Robinson. That's your boy. And you didn't do anything. You just shook hands with the man. There was clips of him possibly holding him up at points. Like,
that's why I wanted to know if Adam saw it, because Zion, from what I saw, I think Floyd was. Did Floyd have money on it going the distance or something? I don't know, because it was very strange how he went about the whole thing.
Well, if you read my interview with Floyd on Complex.com, he said that he could have gone for let me catch this one quick second. Floyd is not someone that always carried a lot of power with him.
He won by
decisions. He outlasted guys. He would get some TKOs here and there, but he's not a guy that delivered knockouts. He never had strong fists.
But this isn't a fighter, Adam.
I get that. So even though talking to him, he said that if he wanted to, he could put Logan Paul out in the first round. He probably could if he really wanted to and got rough in the first round. Like, he wanted to make it entertaining. He wanted to give people bang.
But here's the thing. They didn't make it that entertaining. They just hugged each other.
What did I tell you?
They just hugged each other the whole time.
If you went into this fight and bought it, again, idiotically, in my opinion, for $50, even if you got expensed by the company, that was a waste of money by the company. But if you went into any expectation that you're going to see some sort of skill level and you weren't going to see a complete shit show or two clowns boxing at each other, like that's on you. All right. There was, again, the few clips I saw, zero skills. And if Floyd really wanted to fuck around and put Logan Paul down or at least get it to be stopped by the ref, he could have done that in one or two rounds. So, you know, again, you have to have expectations come to this. I guess some people are entertained by it. We'll see what the pay-per-view numbers are. I'm sure Floyd fleeced the American public again for a shit ton of money. Kudos to him. But there is no way in hell those two individuals were getting my money on Sunday night. No way.
I mean, Ocho Cinco, though. Ocho Cinco fight was more entertaining than that.
Ocho was entertaining. That fight was entertaining.
I would say this. Ocho and the weigh-in looked pretty goddamn pipe. So good for him for staying off the fast food for a little while.
You saw the Ocho fight?
I didn't see the Ocho fight. I saw pictures of him from the weigh-in.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Well, Ocho got knocked down, but Zion, he won that fight, I think.
I mean, yeah, if there was a winner, he probably won it. I think he competed. He did a solid job.
All right, but let me ask you this question for you two. Since you guys did see it, one of you properly bought it, the other one took illegal streams and posted it to twitter.com. Were you overall entertained? Did you feel like it was a quality product?
I don't think I was. I'll let Zion go next. I don't think I was entertained. Like, maybe it was because here's the thing. Last night was a stacked night of sports. I was distracted watching the United States men's team play Mexico in a great match, which they end up winning in extra time.
Man doesn't even know about soccer. He watches soccer.
I was. I was highly entertained.
Our new soccer expert here on Complex Sports.
And I was watching, also, I had the Yankees game on and the great umpires of Major League Baseball in that game. I was watching that game.
That was in the other's batter's box when Odor was called out on strike. So it was one of the worst strike calls in the history of baseball.
So there was a lot going on last night, so I was a little distracted. But I was not entertained. I was way more entertained by the Jake Paul, whoever he fought last time fight.
Ben Askren, who didn't train at all and got $500,000 for getting
I was way
out.
More entertained by the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight and the Nate Robinson. I was way more entertained by that. It fell flat. I don't know if it was because the crowd wasn't really into it. There wasn't a lot of people there. They didn't even come close to selling out.
I mean, they held it at Hard Rock Stadium, which where the Dolphins is a football stadium, which can carry, I don't know, 60,000 people. Whatever.
But Adam, it wasn't even.
I know, but they were only selling 30,000 tickets to begin with.
It wasn't 30,000.
Wasn't it raining also?
It was raining. It wasn't 30,000. Yeah. It was raining and it wasn't 30,000.
Yeah. I read they were trying to get 30,000 people there, but they were probably going to get closer to about 20,000. I know someone who went to I know multiple people that were there, but I know someone that actually bought a ticket to go there. I haven't talked to them about the experience.
And you're yelling at us. For spending money,
I clowned on that individual via text. I clowned on him via text when he told me he bought a ticket. So don't worry, I gave it to him.
Zion, what did you? I wasn't entertained. I don't know.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't entertaining at all. Like I was just watching. I would have turned it off if I didn't have to watch it. But yeah, that was They need
like there's an entertainment aspect to some of these fights. Like even though they're dumb and they could be bad for the sport, whatever. Sometimes they're really entertaining. This one didn't even lack. One lacked just pure entertainment.
You know what would be more entertaining fight? And again, tip of the cap to Floyd for fleecing everyone out of whatever will be $25 million, $50 million, whatever percentage of the pay-per-view buys he gets.
I heard he's getting 100.
I think that's too much, but I would say he's probably going to clear like 50 million. Anyway, people that I talked to for the story I did about the Logan and Jake Paul being good or not for boxing that dropped on Complex Sports last week. Someone had mentioned that, you know, logically speaking, depending on what happened in the fight with Logan sets up very easily now that Jake Paul is signed to Showtime, a potential fight if Floyd wants it with Jake Paul.
No.
Would you guys be more interested in that?
Well, Jake Paul's about to fight Tyrone Woodley.
I know.
Like, I don't know. Is he going to win that fight?
Jake obviously is professional, and this was an exhibition match between Logan and Floyd.
See, I don't think Floyd would risk it.
Said after the fight that he is retired, certainly from professional fights.
He's not going to risk an actual fight that could go on his record and be 50 and
100%, nor should he. Yeah. And at 44, he definitely was slower and wasn't able to.
He was faster than I thought he would be.
No,
he was
Floyd
still
was always
moving.
Fast, but like, it's still, he said, like, I can't do the same shit I used to do. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's age. Yeah. But again, speculation, people I talked to said that this kind of sets up naturally if things go appropriately and they make enough money for Floyd to at some point fight Jake
Paul.
Know
Conor
now, Floyd said, again, retired from professional fighting, which anyone who thinks him and Manny could fight at some point, that's a no. But if enough money gets thrown at the two of them, you never know. But could you see a Jake Paul, Floyd Mayweather exhibition match down the road? If, again, he's going to get guaranteed $100 million and Jake Paul's going to get $25 million, like, I could easily see that happening.
I don't know, but they did say during the press conference, some reporter asked Logan Paul and Jake Paul that was there. He was like, oh, Adrian Broner would want to fight you. And they both said, the way they answered, they were like, wait, who's that? They were trying to play it off.
No way, really?
Yeah. Jake Paul was like, who is that? Logan Paul was like, he murmured under his breath. He was like,
If you want to watch a fight where zero punches are thrown, watch an Adrian Broner fight because he doesn't throw a goddamn punch to save his life.
Before we move on, because we have so much to talk about, isn't, I'm just thinking as a boxing promoter, is Don King still alive, Adam?
Yeah, he's still promoting fights, but he is, his influence thankfully has waned on boxing because he was a parasite to boxing.
I'm just thinking as like, as boxing promoters go, And they think, isn't the logical fight Jake Paul versus Logan Paul?
If you wanted to,
isn't that the logical fight?
But that's only appealing to like the people who are deep into YouTube. That's not appealing to the general public.
Zion, would you watch that?
I think they did ask this too, Logan Paul is like, let us get into the sport first. I do think eventually down the road it's probably gonna happen. Especially when
For instance, like what you're referring to, like they've always asked the Charlo brothers who are champs in different divisions, would you guys as twins ever fight each other? And they're like, hell no, we never do that. I don't think the Paul brothers would do that. But then again, all the stupid shit they do for promotion, they both say they're certified trolls. They probably would sign up for that.
I mean, I guess the Tyron Woodley fight will be interesting because does he even fight in UFC anymore? Or is he just
His contract ran out with UFC,
so he's just doing whatever. Okay, so
he said he wants to go into kind of boxing and take on these matches. He'll probably make a lot of money, and plenty of people in combat sports will be rooting heavily for him to knock Jake Paul the fuck out. But we'll see come August, whatever the hell it is.
We'll see another
Showtime pay per view.
People are making money. I think that's the whole. The whole thing about this is a lot of people are making a lot of money off this, and they're not going to stop because of that.
I will shit on this stuff for all eternity, and a lot of other people that are really into boxing will, but like in the grand scheme of things, if these people who are getting paid, whether it's Floyd, the Paul brothers, or Tyron Woodley, or whoever the hell is fighting in these things, are getting dollars and there's a public interest in it, like more power to them, but like they're not going to get my money. I'd rather save it for like a Gervonta Davis pay-per-view, which is coming up at the end of the month. And there's a lot of other good, legit boxing that if you're into fight game, like you should go check out because the month of June in the summer is going to be awesome for boxing. So,
friend of the pod, Ryan Garcia, was at the fight last night.
And yeah, hopefully he's doing better with his mental health. I mean, he was supposed to fight in early July and he has to take a break. So it's there's a ton of awesome matchups in boxing. Again, unfortunately, me, the boxing guy, will lament at how this stupid shit on Sunday overshadows everything else in the forever fucked up sport of boxing. But it is what it is.
All right. Before we get to the Marvin Bagley interview, we have to talk about the two LA basketball teams. Lakers got eliminated. Adam's LA Lakers got eliminated.
My LA Clippers are still alive, pal. Get it correct.
I forgot you're a Clippers fan.
Yes.
And then the Clippers moved on. Thoughts? What do we think? Where do the Lakers go from here? What do they do? Because
they're kind of fucked in terms of additions.
What's up, Zion?
I mean, number one, they just get healthy. Like that's
can
what
LeBron
it is.
Get healthy? Can LeBron get healthy?
LeBron
has a freak injury though. He suffered.
What is June? And the season's probably going to start, what, December again?
No, it's starting October.
They're trying to get back on track. They're trying to get back on track with October.
He has 3 months. This is a rare 3 months off for him and AD.
Yeah.
So I think they'll take advantage of it. They'll be back next season. And, I mean, whoever they
add. I mean, they need to retool that team, though, right? Like, I don't think that they can bring that core back.
They don't have a lot of maneuverability. I mean,
you said that last year.
I did, and I'll give
Plinkett some credit. But they also signed guys that just absolutely did not help them.
Again, Plinkett got praised for his offseason, but how those moves work out? He signed Montrezl Harrell to a contract, and he can't get off the bench in the playoffs.
And Dennis Schroeder was just
who was horrific. And imagine Schroeder having the audacity to turn down a $100 million contract extension.
Is that true? Did he really turn down
those are the reports that him, and again, my boy
Zion,
Alex Saratsis over at Octagon, who represents him.
Zion, is that true?
I mean, I didn't look at the contract situation. So
yeah, it's been out there. Schroeder wanted to bet on himself.
$100 million. He turned down $100 million.
Roughly, I think it was between $80 or $100 million.
Well, I mean, that's not a lot. It is a lot nowadays.
That's a lot for Dennis Schroeder.
That's a lot of money. How you turn that shit down? Guaranteed.
But think about it. Joe Harris is probably making what, like $18 million a year. And
is he?
He's
good for Joe Harris.
Yeah, he's making like
that's today's NBA. Year. That's today's NBA.
Good for Joe Harris.
If you can average double digits off the bench, you can get yourself a $10 million contract.
So before we get to the Clippers, I just don't think LeBron's going to be 37 next season, guys. He's going to be 37. He didn't have the explosiveness. We know the ankle was messed up. He's got time to come back. But the Nets are still going to be loaded. The Suns took a step. The Mavs, I'm assuming the Mavs are going to do something to put something around Luka. Dame could end up somewhere. Like, there's just so many things. I just don't think that the Lakers can sit back and be like, okay, this next season is the season Kuzma takes off.
Okay, but still.
Because you can't count on that anymore.
That's 100%. Their supporting cast is highly suspect. We can go through that real quickly.
And championship's looking, what Zion, what you say, Mickey Mouse-like?
Mickey Mouse-like. But the point is, listen, if LeBron and AD are healthy, we all know the goddamn narrative. They had still the two best players of any squad in the NBA if those two guys are healthy. So it's going to be predicated on health.
But debatable.
Kuzma has a work cut out for them.
Oh, whoa. Debatable. What'd you just say? Yeah, debatable. I don't know about that one.
We're going to say the Nets now with KD and Harden?
KD and Harden.
Yo, I'm the biggest Bron fan. I'm a Bron stan, but I cannot believe he said he's going to battle the Goon Squad this summer. That was the most embarrassing thing I've ever heard.
Hey, promo.
I have no comment on Space Jam 2 nonsense.
They asked him if he was playing in the Olympics. He says he's battling the Goon Squad. Are you fucking serious, Bron?
Hey, free promo. Get your promo.
Let him get paid.
Need free promo at Space Jam 2? Who's not going to see Space
Jam
2?
If you were just advocating for Floyd and Logan Paul to get paid, why are you shitting on LeBron?
I'm not shitting on him. I cannot believe he said that after he got bounced in the first round for the first time in his career. That's what I can't believe. He got bounced from the first round for the first time in his career, and he says he's not playing Olympics. He's got to battle the Goon Squad. I can't believe that. I had to put my LeBron jersey in the closet. I had to hang it up.
Oh, you didn't burn it?
No. Oh, yeah. Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here.
There could be some videos floating around the internet of you burning a LeBron jersey.
No, there's no fucking videos. I wasn't downtown that night. Fuck out of here. So my thing is, the Lakers need to retool. The Clippers are moving on.
Talk about my Clippers for a second.
How far can the Clippers get? Because I actually think they're the favorite. They should be the favorites in the West right now.
If Kawhi's going to keep playing like this, all the way.
I mean, they should be, because like at this point, they've kind of experienced the adversity now. Like they've finally, you know, achieved beating adversity for once. And I think that's going to be like a momentum swing. And now, I mean, they have the best roster. If they get Serge Ibaka back healthy, then...
Is he coming back? Do we know if Serge is coming back?
I haven't seen the update on him. But listen, if the Clippers, who are the best jump shooting team in the NBA and the best three-point shooting team, if they hit their shots, it's going to be tough to keep them out of the finals. And it's really fun watching Kawhi like really, really like get intense in these situations. Like Luke obviously had an incredible game 7. But when Kawhi like clams down and is playing like hard as fuck on both sides of the ball, it is awesome to watch.
And that's, I would say, they're the only team I want to see. I don't want to see the Jazz in the finals.
I wouldn't hate seeing the Suns in the finals.
I mean, I wouldn't hate seeing CP3 in the finals, but I think from entertainment.
But they're the only two. Nuggets and Jazz, I don't want to see.
Well, we all know who the NBA front office is rooting for.
The Clippers.
The Brooklyn
Nets. Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Well, in the West.
Yes, in the West we're talking here. They ain't rooting for Rudy Gobert and the Jazz.
No, nobody. Adam Silver would jump off
a bridge. Again, the hilarity of a Milwaukee-Utah finals.
That would be nasty.
Fun from, again, if you're a hardcore basketball fan, it'd be fun to watch that. I'd be into that. But the general public would.
Would it, Adam? Would it be fun to watch?
No, I would like that. I'd be down for that.
Wouldn't be the best. I mean, it would be fun to watch from basketball.
I'm not saying it's the best matchup possible. Yeah. Of course, it's the Nets in the finals.
Sometimes we're owed the best matchup. We don't always get it.
Yeah.
We don't always get the best matchup. We're owed, from looking at these teams, if we don't get Clippers-Nets, I'm going to be highly disappointed. Highly disappointed.
And then, again, plugging our content again, we can add that to the what-if top NBA squads in the past 21 years. If the Nets don't make the finals. So, yeah, it would be great to see the Nets make the finals.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I thought that was slender.
They'd be a gigantic what-if squad, yeah.
But the only reason they wouldn't make it, let's just get this out the way right now. The only reason they wouldn't make it is because they weren't healthy.
I mean, you have that. I'm not saying an excuse, but you have that now because Harden got hurt. You do have that. You do have that.
The excuse train has left the station.
What do we... real quick, Sixers. How much trouble are the Sixers in? Real quick.
I don't think they're in that much trouble, but I did warn people.
Really?
I said the Hawks can put them... Like, people thought it was going to be just a very easy sweep series. Like, no, the Hawks, they have talent. And they didn't even play DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter did not play.
Their best defender.
So, like, it's going to be... I think the Sixers still win, though. They win in six.
You think?
Yeah.
I would say this. Don't overreact from one game.
Yeah.
And also, the last time you asked me or us about, you know, your feelings on a series after one game, i.e. the Lakers, how'd that work out? And I said, you shouldn't be worried if you're the Lakers. So I'm not going to say shit after
game
one. Well,
then I also said the Knicks are going to win in five.
I also said the Knicks are winning in seven. So, yeah, I should shut the fuck up about these predictions. Yeah, but, you know, yeah, whatever. But so I would say don't overreact after game one.
Your excuse for the Lakers, because the Lakers were going to win that series if Anthony Davis did not get hurt again.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
But you guys are being a little cruel to the Suns.
They
right
were
now.
Not
being
cruel.
I mean, you guys are taking a little bit too much away from the Suns.
Did you see what they did
game
three? Like the disrespect the Lakers had for the Suns in game three? Like they were not taking them seriously, and they still won that game.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's cool. I think CP3 making the finals would be really, really, really cool. And Devin Booker's playing out of his mind. You got Boss Man out there talking shit to Bron, talking about
we are not
the gun
encouraging Jay Crowder, but I respect it.
Are you in the Jay Crowder fan club pile? Are you the president?
Yeah.
Oh, I hated him when he was on the Cavs. He didn't make one shot when he was on the Cavs. LeBron got him traded.
He is first team shit talking, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting. I mean, that team's kind of likable. DeAndre Ayton's likable, you know? Like, all right, before we get to the Marvin Bagley interview, Julio Jones got traded on Sunday. What did you guys think of that to the Titans?
Boring.
Second round pick seems appropriate.
Why boring?
You're the football guy, pal, so you can take it away.
Boring.
I don't really give a shit about this. You're the football guy. Take it away.
It would have been more entertaining to go like to the Ravens or something. Like
you just want your man Lamar to get all the weapons, don't you?
I do. 100%. Lamar needed Julio Jones. That would have been fun, but you know, whatever. The Titans still not beating the Chiefs.
I don't think this moved the needle much. I think Julio's still very good, but I just don't think it moved the needle much. And I'm kind of surprised they gave up a second for him a little bit. But
it's moderate compensation, but I can't get too riled up about this. Like
I'm giving up a second for Julio Jones.
Yeah, that's fair compensation.
I just don't think it puts them over the edge. Like I think that they're going all in, but I don't think it put them over the top. That's kind of what I'm saying. You know?
Yeah, I don't think it does much.
Like the Ravens giving up a second, I would have been like, oh, okay, I get it. They're serious. Like this is, you know.
Yeah.
The Titans are in that like next tier of AFC teams. I don't think.
Yeah, but would
like,
you put them as a top team in the AFC South right now?
Yeah, because Wentz was the worst quarterback in football last year, and he's their quarterback at the Colts. I know you're rooting for your Colts. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't give two shits about the Colts. So again, false narrative right there. But I would say that it's a good addition for the Titans that are supposed to be.
No,
the top
it
team
is. It's a good addition, and they should do it every time. I just don't think it puts them over the top in the AFC. I think the Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, and Browns are still better than the Titans.
He's a 32-year-old receiver, a very good receiver.
What was that, Zach?
Had to put the Browns in there.
Yeah, I did because it's factual, okay?
We almost got through one. Again, one of these days we'll get through a podcast. I'll mention the goddamn Browns. We were close.
There's nothing to talk about. We're chilling. There's nothing to talk about right now. There's nothing to talk about. Oh, Odell's back on Instagram, so we're good.
Good for him.
All that kind of content. Clown of the week. I think it's easy. It's just whoever bought the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather fight.
Amen to that.
I think so. Unless you guys have, unless it's the umps in the Yankees game.
I don't know. Was Jesus and Mero? That was
they were
horrendous.
Jesus and Mero were good. They were funny. I thought so, Zion. Right? I thought they were funny.
Yeah, they were cool at points. I think the funniest part is when they told Jake Paul to be quiet when he said his brother was funny. But they were.
Cool. He tweeted Floyd was 50-1. I'm like, what fight did you watch?
The best tweet of the night though. The best tweet of the night came from the number one pound for pound box in the world, Canelo Alvarez, who simply put up an emoji of a face palm.
Was it the best tweet of the night? Because he looked kind of like, bro, you had your chance to beat Floyd. You didn't beat Floyd.
Do we want to get into this right now?
No. I'm just saying, did he beat Floyd?
No. Yeah. It was a majority decision, which is questionable on the judges' scorecards. But when you leave up to the judges, that's what happens in boxing. But at the narrative, Floyd, who was undefeated, 50-0, and beat a shit ton of champions.
You're saying he ran from Canelo, whatever.
I'm not saying he ran from Canelo. I'm saying that he got Canelo when Canelo was 23 years old. And Floyd was incredibly established and at the peak of his powers. So keep that into consideration. Everything deserves context. Floyd, if you guys generally know, has obviously been a shit ton of awesome names, but he has been very strategic and very judicious about when he has fought said individuals. But again,
that's how you get 50-0, my friend.
That's how you become Money Mayweather, who has made almost $1 billion in the industry of boxing. So props to Floyd.
All right, let's get to our Marvin Bagley interview. We talk about playing for the Kings, his rap music. I think Adam talked about Diss and Dame, I'm pretty sure.
I brought it up. I just see.
You
I
brought
just
up the Dame
up.
Stuff. We didn't talk about the Coach K thing because it hadn't happened, and we didn't talk about the NBA players fans run on the court because that really hadn't happened yet either. So yeah, a few things left out. But let's get to it. Fun conversation, Marvin Bagley.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Marvin Bagley, welcome to the Complex Sports Podcast. We appreciate you joining us. How you feeling today?
Feeling great, man. How you doing?
No, we chilling. We chilling, you know. Ready to talk some hoops, talk what you got going on, talk some music. I know you got a whole bunch of stuff going on, right?
I got a lot going on coming up, man. We can talk about it all.
So let's talk about, all right, offseason just started for you. What do you normally do? Do you take, like, you know, a few weeks off to chill, do some vacations, like just really decompress? Tell us what it's typical for you when the offseason hits.
Oh, for me, I do kind of, you know, take a break, probably a week and a half or so, just to kind of get my body back, you know, feeling good. And then I kind of ease my way back into it slowly, you know, with lifting and court work. Not too crazy to start it off. Obviously, it's a long summer, so I ease my way up into it until obviously training camp comes around. So it's a routine that I follow, and it's been working for me, so I'm just gonna stick with it.
Can you tell us how you got Lil Durk and A Boogie collaborations coming out? Because that's impressive.
Man, I appreciate that. Nah, man, it just so happened, man. I had a couple songs. Well, for Lil Durk, I just recorded them. I was listening. I was like, yo, I think Durk will go crazy on this. Like, I feel like his voice fit perfect. So I reached out, and we were able to make it happen. And the song is fire. I can't wait for y'all to hear it, man. I can't wait for y'all to hear it. It's going to be out in a few weeks. So that's how that came about. A Boogie, the same way. I heard it, thought he would sound good on it. And he knocked it out for me. So there's going to be a lot of heat coming y'all way soon.
Hey, Lil Durk, that's a great get. I mean, he's been hot of late. You might hit the charts with that one.
Oh yeah, I was hyped when he said he'd get on it. We got the video. We're gonna shoot for the song soon, next couple weeks or so. So I'm definitely excited about this one. I think it's gonna be a good one for the summer. Everybody, you know, listen to it, vibe, and you know, just have fun with it.
But most importantly, Marvin, how do I want to put this? What other NBA stars are you taking shots at in this song? Because we know that you like to take a few shots here and there, and you have fun and mix it up and bust balls with other NBA guys.
Ain't no shots, man. No? I ain't taking shots. You know, I'm just doing what I love to do. You know, it's music. I love music. I loved it since I was 6 years old, 5, 6 years old, rapping, you know, to my parents in the room. So I'm just having fun with it, you know, just getting, you know, into that side where I'm, you know, more on the artist end and creating and making music that I love, and hopefully my fans and people that listen to me will love as well.
Do you get nervous reaching out to artists? Because obviously you're a professional athlete, you know, so it's not like, I don't know how you characterize it. Is it like you're 1A and 1B type thing, but do you get like kind of butterflies, like kind of reaching out, like, you know, like, oh, I hope they like it type thing, or how does that go with your music?
I don't get nervous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm confident in, you know, what I'm doing with my music. So if I hear a song and mm-hmm. I think a certain artist will sound good on it, I'm going to reach mm-hmm. out. They say no, they don't like it. Cool. It is what it is. But I mean, I'm going to shoot my shot whether they like it or not. So that's the type of mindset that I go with it. And I think it's it's been working for me so far. And like I said, I take it very serious. It's not just something that I do just because I got a lot of time on my hands. I really study music. I really, you know, study artist flow, all different type of stuff that has to do with music. So I'm confident in it. And I just reach out and see what happens from there.
So who are the guys that you looked up to in the rap game growing up? Who were some of your favorites?
I'll be here all day.
We got some time, so go ahead.
No, for sure, for sure. I mean, just a few off my head. I like, you know, Nas, Tupac, obviously.
Young Zion, do you know who all these rappers are? Young Zion over here is a young individual. He's not
younger than me. He's like a year or two older than me.
We have to educate you sometimes on these
legends. What are you talking about?
I'm going. Sorry, Barbara, go ahead.
But no, yeah, it's guys like that. Nas, Tupac, Jay-Z, one of my favorites that I listen to today is Rakim. You know, today now with it, you know, this era that we in, I like my favorite rappers right now that I, you know, looked up to is J. Cole. You know, Drake obviously is a great rapper. Just different guys I try to like listen to and kind of, you know, get inspiration from. So it's a lot. I could go on and on, but it's those are just a few that I look up to in the music, you know, industry that I kind of like get inspiration from.
So could we see a J. Cole feature? I mean, that's Puma Gang right there. That's you got Puma the gang. Connect.
Hey, I'm trying to this day. I'm trying to this day. I talked to him, you know, a few times. I ran into him All-Star Weekend in Charlotte when he was performing. I'm trying to get that done, man. That'll be, you know, that's one for sure on my checklist. You know, I got to get five. I hang up this music thing. So I'm going to keep trying till I get it. But eventually, hopefully it'll happen.
Can you scout J. Cole's basketball game for us? Did you watch him? Like, if you were going against J. Cole, what would be on the scouting report?
Man, Jake, I ain't really got a chance to watch. I seen highlights, but, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, catch the games. But from the highlights that I seen, you know, he had some nice hustle plays, you know, getting the ball, you know, saving it. That pull up jumper.
That's what everybody said.
He looked like a hustle guy. Like, he looked like that one piece of
a glue thing, guy. You need glue guys out there. You need glue guys out there.
I seen it. I was like, okay, I like that. No, he had a, you know, between the legs, kind of hezzy to the mid range jump pull up. I like that one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like his game, and I'm to see him doing what he, you know, always wanted to do. You know, going from, you know, being, you know, a great artist to following his dream to be a professional, you know, basketball player. That's awesome to see, especially for somebody like me that's trying to do the same, but obviously flipped around. So it's definitely inspirational.
Chuck, are you giving Dirk tips on the court? Because, you know, Dirk can ball.
Oh, for sure. I've seen him. I never talked to him about basketball, but I say stuff, you know, of videos of him, you know, working out, hooping, and he got some games too.
Yeah. Yeah. Him, East, and Quavo seem to be like, and Cole, like, they seem to be like, if you were going to do like a starting five of rappers who could hoop, like, they would be on there.
No, for sure. I'll go with those, you know, those three that you just said, and probably a couple more. Chris Brown could hoop.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Chris Brown could hoop. I'll throw him in there. It's a lot, man. 2 Chainz, you know, the hooper. It's a lot of, you know, rappers that's hooping.
Although 2 Chainz after that 2-on-2,
Chainz wasn't that great.
Huffing and puffing away. Oh, sorry,
yeah. Chainz's condition wasn't up to snuff.
Lungs ain't what they used to be.
But yeah, I think even transitioning to basketball, obviously, you know, your first two finish. You let me get this out the way. Let me get this because they gonna bring it up. I'm a Duke fan. So, you know, I've seen you since Sierra Canyon with Cody Riley and Remy Martin to Duke, to now to the Kings. But, you know, how would you evaluate your first 2 years so far?
My first couple of years, you know, it's been a lot of ups and downs. It's been a lot of, you know, lessons learned off the court and on the court. And I think I'm a better player. I think I learned so much more than you know, coming into the NBA. I know more now than I did. But I would say my first 2 years for me were great. And if you look in the grand scheme of things, it was a great thing for me to go through all of that that I went through, just so I can know that I can get through certain things that like adversity that I've been through with the injuries and all of that. I can get through those things and keep pushing and keep, you know, getting better and getting to where I want to be. So as far as the lessons, great. We just got to keep going, keep pushing on.
Are there things about NBA life that maybe have really surprised you? You know, you talk about hardships, adversity, stuff like that. And obviously, you got, you know, the Kings, it hasn't exactly gone like you guys would have loved to. Didn't quite contend for the playoffs the way you want to this year. But, you know, these two seasons, the hardships, the adversity, has there been something that's really caught you surprised by how hard NBA life actually is?
I mean, my rookie season, coming into it, not knowing like what to expect. You know, as far as traveling, as far as playing, you know, back to back, you might have to, you know, fly across the, you know, country, you know, on a back to back and you know, play the next day. And it's like stuff like that I had to see that was very different, but I eventually, you know, adjusted to it. And, you know, just small things like that. That was my biggest, you know, adjustment to the NBA. Once I got on the court, I feel like, you know, basketball was taking care of itself. But as far as the traveling and, you know, going from city to city, you and somewhere every other day, you know, it was a lot at first, but kind of got the hang of it. And, you know, I think that was the biggest thing for me. And I'm good now. So it's just about, you know, keeping a routine and keeping that going throughout a, you know, 82 game season and just rolling with that.
I'm kind of stealing this from Q Rich and D Miles, but did you have a welcome to the NBA moment? Did you like, you know, that first thing where you're like, ah, damn, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, man, let me think. I think for me, my first one was we played Golden State. We played Golden State in Seattle. We had to go to Seattle and play in a preseason mm-hmm. game. And mm-hmm. I just remember, you know, we came out to the court. We were warming up first, and then all of a sudden – the whole arena just got loud. Like, the whole arena just started screaming. I'm like, what was going on? So I look to the other end. I see KD, I see Steph, Clay. Oh, I see they all running out. Like, I'm like, damn. Like, now it's like, yo, I'm really about to play these dudes. Like, it's like, yo, I'm about to, you know, actually get to compete against KD, Steph, Clay. Like, that was my, like, wow. Like, it was an initial wow. And then, yeah, we got smacked that game, but it was one of those things where I'm really about to compete against them, and it's always been a dream of mine to do that. So that was kind of my welcome. I wouldn't say it was a, you know, bad, good or bad, but it was just like that initial wow, like I'm here, about to, you know, compete, hoop against these dudes that I've always been watching. Same with Bron when I first played against Bron. It was like been watching these dudes since I was in high school, even before that. So now to be able to compete against him, it was a great feeling.
Did you ever get starstruck though, like that initially for one quick second when you got on the court, LeBron, or like, you know, you saw Steph, KD, and Clay across, you know, the court, like even just for a brief second? Like, again, I know you talk about that welcome to the NBA moment, but like anyone else in the NBA that you really looked up to growing up, do you ever have that quick little starstruck moment, like, oh shit, I'm actually about to go up against Bron or, you know, some other future legend?
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, I watched Giannis a lot growing up. I just like how he plays. I like how he can, you know, create for his teammates. He attack off the dribble was just, you know, aggressive. I watched his game a lot. When we played Milwaukee, I was like, yo, like it's crazy because like I was learning. For me, I was watching when I wasn't in the game, when he was in the game, just still being able to watch up close finally, like not just through TV, film, but like being able to see him up close and watch how he plays the game, like just studying that. That's one guy that I would say that I liked, you know, studying and watching. And I wouldn't say it was starstruck, because once I got in the game, it was basketball.
Yeah, like, yeah, of course. Yeah.
We you know what I'm saying? We hooping the same way, you know what I mean? So, but that initial, you know, like, okay, now I can really see up close how these dudes play, you know, certain moves that I will see on TV, I can see them up close now and kind of like put that into, you know, workouts that I might do in the offseason, and I just take bits and pieces from a lot of guys in the league that I looked up to. So that's one, you know, thing that I love about this league is you can be able to do that and learn and grow, take your game to a new level just by learning from a lot of guys that, you know, do a lot of things well.
Did you take
Marvin?
Go ahead, Chops. Go ahead.
Isn't it crazy that someone could, like, Giannis could be underappreciated somehow in the way that just, like, people watch basketball now and, like, how fickle, like, NBA Twitter is to where, like, someone with Giannis is, like, doesn't get appreciated enough as he should?
Man, I think so. I think I would agree with that. Giannis is a great player. You know, we played him. Every time we played him, it's a good matchup. It's a great matchup. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Twitter, NBA Twitter, all the media, it's whatever. Like, it's like, if we're really being honest, I mean, a lot of those guys don't know what, you know, the hell they're talking about. So, but the real people that are around basketball and study basketball and know the game, they know what's up. So Giannis is a great player.
Yeah. We ranked your point guard, De'Aaron Fox, in, among the top 10 point guards. Please tell us why we were correct in ranking De'Aaron Fox in the top 10 amongst the NBA point guards this season. Because we think we know the game. So De'Aaron, why don't you just, you know, give us some props here for giving De'Aaron top 10 status.
No, I mean, y'all not wrong.
Hey, there we go. All right. We'll pat ourselves in the back there. Okay.
De'Aaron is, you know, fast, probably one of the quickest guards in the league. You know, when we get out and get running, and, you know, it's good to be able to run alongside, you know, him, and just how he plays the game, creating and creating for his teammates. You know, it's good to have, you know, that type of, you know, guard on your team, to run, you know, run a team, be able to take control of the team, be able to, you know, see things before they happen. So it's just, you know, it's great to be able to play along Fox, and I think y'all got it right with having
him. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
All right. Yes,
don't that no, I want credit. My props.
don't give that man too much credit. But I did want to touch on something you just touched on with, obviously, like, people's perception of the game and whatnot. Because, obviously, I mean, we know, me and you know, you noticed, like, you've averaged, like, 15 and 8, even if in your first 2 years, and some people, like, have criticized that, even for, like, coming into the league so young. And obviously with the comparisons with Trey and Luka in your class, how much does that, like, motivate you? And, you know, is there a mindset in the back of your head, like, okay, I'm going to prove them wrong?
No, first of all, I'm happy for those guys. You know, just seeing them, you know, be doing well, and I'm happy to see that. But for me, I would say, my biggest thing is just compete with myself, you know, making sure every day that I'm better than I was the day before. Just having a bigger picture in my mind, in the back of my mind, you know, going through this whole thing. You know, it's a lot of ups and downs. Like, as I said, you know, with my first, you know, 3 years in the NBA, it's a lot of ups and downs. So just having a bigger picture in your mind and sticking with that, not getting off track and not getting distracted by certain things. That's my mindset. And I think, you know, if I stay with the program and, you know, keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'll get to, you know, where I want to be. I'll be, you know, in the playoffs. I'll be playing, you know, doing all the things that I have, you know, on my goal list that I haven't checked off yet. For me, it's just about following the plan. Like I said, I'm happy for those guys. You know, I want nothing but success for those guys. And it's good to see that. So, you know, I'm just keep going and I'll be where I'm supposed to be.
Are you one of the guys, can you watch the playoffs? Or are you like, you can't watch? You're like, I got to tune out.
I love watching it. Even if I'm okay, not, it hurts. Like, for me, yeah. It's like, damn, like, when I'm watching, I was watching the Phoenix game the other day, and I was just watching the whole game, like, damn, like I'm trying to really get there. Like I'm trying to get to the playoffs. Yeah. I'm trying to compete like that. You know, it's that part of it, but then again, it's a part of it where I like watching because, like I said, it's always something that I can learn and pick up. I like watching and studying the game and just seeing different things that I can learn and get better at, even if I'm not playing, even if I want to be there, you know, as bad as I want to be, you know, just still learning and taking bits and pieces from everybody that I'm watching and just kind of trying to put it in my game.
And you got plenty of your Dukies in the playoffs, so you can root for those guys.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, for sure. I'm excited for those guys.
I was about to say, do you know it? Like, we haven't even had Zion in the playoffs yet. Like, you haven't been in the playoffs yet. Zion hasn't been in the playoffs yet. Like, that's crazy. Like, you got, like, we gotta. I mean, obviously, he plays for the Pelicans, but, like, we need that. You know, like, the NBA fans need that.
For sure. That's the goal, man. That's the ultimate goal. You know, in this thing is to get to that level. You know, to compete for, you know, a championship. So, I mean, like I said, man, we just got to, you know, stay the course. For me, just stay the course, you know, stay locked in, don't get distracted. And eventually y'all will get that. Y'all will get that playoff, you know, experience.
Playoff Marv.
What's up?
I said playoff Marv.
Oh, I thought you said Marv. I thought you said yo. All right. Playoff Marv, facts. So,
what happened? Can we talk about what happened to Duke this year? Or because Zion said we can't talk about it.
Like, goodness.
Zion said it was a fake season. I don't know.
It was a fake season.
No, he kicked the bucket on the season in February. Okay, let's keep it real. Young Zion kicked the bucket.
It was a rough year.
February.
It was a rough year for everybody. I'm going to leave it like that. It was a rough year.
Facts.
Different season, different type of schedule, COVID testing, a lot of different factors that go into it. You know,
no fans, no crazies.
No fans. That's another thing. You know, you can't have if you don't got the crazies in there, it's a different experience.
Yeah, you had players leaving the program in the middle of the season. So, you know, it's a lot of things in motion. I'm just saying, it happened.
What are you trying to do, bro?
It happened.
Yeah, I see it.
It happened. Did it not happen?
That's crazy. That's crazy. No, I'm just saying, I mean, it was a rough season. I mean, it was especially, I couldn't imagine being in college and going through, because it was hard for, you know, us. You know, it was the whole stuff, getting tested every day, no fans. It was like, it was different. So I couldn't imagine, you know, high school, college, what they were going through and their mental and you know, things like that. So, I mean, it was a tough one, but I think next season we'll bounce back and we'll be straight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
So we'll be straight.
So I have this take, and Zion gets mad at me because I say it because he loves the NBA so much. NBA basketball without fans is one of the worst things I've ever watched, I think. Do you – be in there, is it just awful playing in front of no fans?
It's very different, I would say that.
It's not fun to watch with no fans.
It is a missing element.
My first time playing was like we played Golden State, and then we had we had cardboard like cutouts in the crowd, and it was just like they had the crowd noise. But when we started playing, it was like, yo, this is weird. Like, it's like nobody here. You got the noise, but it's like it's not the same for sure. So when we started playing with fans, it was better.
College basketball is a million times worse because, like, they don't play music the way you guys do in the NBA. They don't have the piped in stuff. Like, college basketball atmosphere without fans is. It's a million times worse.
Yeah, they don't have the effects that you.
Yeah, you guys in the NBA are spoiled with that stuff.
That's a whole nother story, because if we didn't have the effects or nothing, it would have been like, yo, like, this is not like we, what are we doing? Like, it's definitely different though.
I mean, fellow Dukie Jason Tatum said guys were in the bubble were performing better without, because no people were there. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I guess it's different for different guys. I like, you know, if I'm on the court, I mean, I'm going to play, whether it's one person in there or 20,000 in there. I'm going to still show up and play and, you know, do my job. But you can't ignore the fact that it's very different, though. You know, like, you don't have that same, like, intensity of a crowd that, you know, you go on a run, you know, you could feel it. But that crowd is that extra gear to, you know, get through the game. So you definitely notice it. But I feel like once you start playing, it's like, okay, whatever, we don't got fans, let's still hoop. Like, let's play, and let's do what we came here to do.
Definitely. We got this thing called One Gotta Go. You want to play with this, Marvin, before we get you out of here?
Let's get it.
We got some categories here. This usually goes off. So One Gotta Go, Jay-Z, Kanye West, Lil Wayne.
How about that?
I love doing this.
Damn. One Gotta Go, Jay-Z, Kanye, and Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
One gotta go. I'm gonna have to. Jay's.
Oh,
Jay up there. Like, I gotta keep Jay in there.
Oh, okay.
Kanye's a legend. Lil Wayne a legend. If I had to pick one to drop, I might have to drop Kanye.
Mm. Ooh.
Okay.
Might have to.
Any particular reason?
Lil Wayne is tough. I like Lil Wayne music. Like, you know, I like how he rap. So it's just like Kanye too. But if I had to pick out of the two, I'm gonna go with Lil Wayne.
Zion, what's the other one we just did? What's it with the younger kids?
Oh, what did we do? Oh, it was Travis, Uzi, and Lil Baby.
If I had to drop one,
Yeah.
Probably Uzi. Uzi. It's hard. Like, y'all asking me hard questions. Like, but if I had to jump when I throw three, it'll be Uzi for sure.
I'm getting Travis out there, man.
That's a tough one. Why you say you're getting Travis out of there?
I don't think Travis is as good as people think he is. I think Astro World was a really good project, but
bro, Travis is an icon out here, bro.
He's an icon. Travis. He's an icon for sure amongst the whole landscape of culture. I don't think just music. We talking just music, Travis? I don't know, bro. Uzi and Baby got
Uzi tough. Uzi tough though. Uzi got some hits for sure. Yeah. They all got some hits, but those are definitely tough ones.
I'm coming off with this one off the dome: Nas, Rakim, and Tupac. That might be the toughest one we've ever
done. That's all the three that you named were like my favorite rappers that I listen to.
That's why you listed them. So that's why I picked them.
It's like, damn, like
you shouldn't have told us your favorite rappers.
So what was the three? Name the three again.
Nas, Rakim, and Tupac.
And one got to go.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's tough.
That's a tough one. I feel bad.
I'm going to go with Rakim, though.
Okay.
Not Nas?
No, really? I love Nas. I love all of Nas.
You love Nas's whole catalog?
I like most of it. And obviously, artists, you know, put out songs that, you know, you kind of don't like. That's every artist.
Or the Kanye album. Let's be real here. Come on.
Don't hold that against Nas. Don't hold that against Nas.
I'm just saying it happens.
Hey, but I think. You said what?
It happened. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it happened.
It did happen.
We got one good track out of that disaster. But anyway, go ahead.
The Hit Boy album was great. The King's Disease, the last one was very, very good.
Which one was that one? You said which one?
The most recent one with Hit Boy. That one was very good. I thought the Nas album very good. The King's
Disease. Oh, yeah. No, I love that one.
Yeah, that one was very good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one was well put together.
The one he won his Lifetime Grammy for.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, y'all came up with some tough ones, but I'm gonna have to go with I'm gonna have to go with Rakim. He gonna have to, you know, sit this one out.
That's fair. 18th letter.
Do we got a Duke one?
I won't do you like that. I'm not gonna split the brotherhood.
Hey, we together, bro. Tell him, we together.
Yeah, we together. I'm not going to do you like that. We're not splitting the brotherhood.
I mean, otherwise, we're just going to ask you who your basketball GOAT is. So you get to pick either one. Either we're doing a Duke one, got to go, or you got to pick a GOAT in the NBA.
I'll go with the GOAT.
You got one?
Uh-huh. I mean... Mike, I don't think.
Right answer.
No, I don't think nobody. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know what I mean. Kobe was the next one. I think it's, you know, Mike, Kobe, and then Bron, like top three.
Okay,
but you know, Bron's still playing though, so you can't really. That's why I don't like. You know,
he can't say that. He can't call him the goat.
Yeah, like you can't really you can't really put him like up there yet. You know, till he's done. But Mike and Kobe for sure. Like that's
we had Kenny Smith on this podcast, and he had Kobe and Bron outside the top 10.
Outside of the top 10,
yeah. He had Tiny Archibald in his top 10
over LeBron and Kobe.
I guess it's different for like I said, it's different people, I had to ask Kenny about that.
Kenny caught some heat for that.
Yeah, Kenny caught some heat. That's good, Marvin. So. Fill us in again. When is the music coming? What are we expecting this summer? You're always working. What are we looking for from the new musically coming this summer?
I got a single coming out June 11th called Late Nights. Be on the lookout for that. Dropping after that, you know, with Dirk for the music video. I got a, you know, company, entertainment company. You know, we putting together is coming out soon. So. You know, I got a lot of stuff, you know, that I'm dropping a project July, 30th, around, end of July, July 30th. So
it's my birthday. It's my birthday.
Hey. Well, that'll be your birthday gift. That'll be your birthday.
There we
gift.
Go. There we go.
That'll be a good birthday gift. But yeah, it's a lot that I'm working on.
This entertainment company. Tell us about that. Tell us about the entertainment company. What are you trying to? You making movies? What are we doing?
Oh well, it's under 3-5 Entertainment, and basically, mm-hmm. Just giving a lot of people a platform to kind of be creative. We can do on podcasts, starting a label. Just starting off, step by step to build something, down the line that we can, look back at and be proud of, for, our kids and our kids' kids to come in and take over. So that's kind of what we're trying to do with the company, and, it's coming together nice. We're in the beginning phase of it, but, we're going to build on it and keep, getting to that point where we can look back, like I said, and be proud of what we built.
Sure.
Sounds good to us. Are you going to send Luke Walton your new singles early to listen to or no?
Nah, I'm not going to send it to him. I'm not going to send it to him. This, I ain't even sent them to, the homies yet. So I can't send them to Coach like that.
Okay, Coach. We're not going to get Luke Walton's opinion on it. Okay. Marvin, we appreciate you. We can't wait to hear the music. We, wish you all the luck this summer getting ready and, next season. Hopefully next season is a very normal NBA season. With crowds, and everything.
For sure.
And everything. So we appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it, boss.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for rolling through.
Thank you, guys.
That was fun. Zion, you guys are very – so how does this change, Zion? Because you and Marvin were very high on the Duke team next year. But how does this – is there now extra pressure on this upcoming Duke team because it is Coach K's last? So these kids are going to have extra pressure night in and night out. They don't want to let Coach K down in his final season. Am I wrong?
I mean, there's pressure, but when you're bringing in the most talented player in the country and the projected number one pick, then
who is that? Can you just let us know?
Paolo Banchero.
Okay, it's not the kid from Minnesota that's going to Gonzaga.
He's projected number two right now. Well, according to ESPN's list, he's number two. Okay. But Paolo's number one. Even though Chet was number one in high school, but yeah, we got superstars again, man. It's going to be a show. So sit back, relax, and watch Duke again.
Okay, I just have one quick question here, Chops. Will the Coach K farewell tour be the most nauseating thing in the history of sports?
Can anything be more nauseating than the Paul Pierce farewell tour?
The Coach K farewell tour, 1,000,000% will be more nauseating.
We might need to take the account away from Zion, actually.
Yeah. How was that even like I don't get it, where the hate comes from that, like, Coach K is the greatest college coach to ever walk the face of the earth. Why are we doing this? do not say John.
You know history?
Do not say John Wooden.
Have you ever heard of John Wooden?
Do not say John Wooden. Number one, because John Wooden was a shorter period. John Wooden played with more talent and had to win less games to win a tournament. That's not as impressive as what Coach K has done.
How many games did they have to win
years.
Back then?
They had to win four games, right? Three or four games to win a tournament. Now you have to win six in a row. Come on, bro.
How many titles does Coach K have? Refresh our memory.
Five.
Is it a failure if they don't win it this next year?
A little bit, but they won't be the outright favorite. It's not like a Zion year.
Again, do you know how disgusting it's going to be if Coach K gets the Final Four next year? Oh, my God. I won't be able to watch college basketball. I'll have to shut
up
because
you're a hater.
You
can't appreciate greatness.
No, because I can't appreciate syrupy nonsense. I can't get. I can't worship. You guys are going to treat him like a fucking god. I mean, seriously.
That's why you hate LeBron. That's why you hate Coach K. That's why you hate everybody who does. You just hate greatness. It's sad, man.
I appreciate selective greatness. Okay.
No, you don't. You only appreciate.
I do. I appreciate John Wooden the way you should.
No, you only appreciate Philip Rivers.
Knowing how I'm reversing course on this. Knowing how mad the Coach K farewell tour is going to make Adam, I am now pro Coach K farewell tour. And I cannot wait to see it. I cannot wait to watch it every night because Zion's going to post a video on Complex Sports Twitter every game.
Yeah, every game. Tear jerking minute long montage.
Can you explain what that video was of them dancing to Cascade?
This is why I didn't even post it. Like, we even wrote an article on it, and I was like, y'all are dumb.
We did
writing this. Like, no, this is literally what they do every time, every game. That's the theme song of Duke. What in the camera case?
Who picked that one? Who picked that?
I don't know. It's been that way for ever since the song has been out. It's them. I don't know. I don't really like the song myself, but it's a thing. It's a Duke thing. And okay. People just hating like they want to hate Coach K. I don't get it. I just don't get it. But haters gonna hate. He is great.
On that note, not much else to say. We had a lot to talk about. It was good. We'll continue to follow the NBA playoffs, obviously. We'll see if I'm the bad luck. Are you going to blame me if the Nets lose tonight?
Yes.
You didn't answer my question in the intro there, pal.
What?
Who did you blackmail to get these tickets?
Nothing. The Nets, Adam, you know they can't get anybody to go to these games.
I know, because I heard the atmosphere was just dead on
game
one.
They emailed me. They were like, do you want tickets?
You heard the atmosphere was dead? What?
I heard from sources within the building that Barclays Center was not too popular.
A friend of the podcast, Al, from Bleacher Report, told me that the game was pretty live on Saturday night. He told me that. Jay-Z was there, Travis Scott. They're getting the celebrities out, at least.
Yeah, for some team that doesn't, you know, relevant in New York, it seems like a lot of people were at that game and a lot of famous people.
Spike Lee doesn't have anything to do right now. He could pop over to a Nets game.
He probably will. Spike Lee had to bring his celebrities. He had to bring Chris Tucker, Chris Rock, and all them to courtside.
Chris Tucker was in Atlanta. Don't do that to Spike Lee. Don't do that to the Nets. The poor Knicks. But yeah, okay, so I get blamed if they lose tonight. Okay, good to know. Yeah, that's it. Fun episode, guys. A lot to talk about. Shout out to Marvin Bagley. He has a lot going on. Excited to see what he does. You know, he's going into a big year, obviously. Can't be easy getting drafted in the same class as Trae Young and Luka Doncic. I'll just say that. Can't be easy.
Especially now.
Especially right now. Like that. Just right now, watching that, like, can't be easy. You know, at least DeAndre Ayton is. Huh?
Ayton's been hooping, though. Ayton had a hell of a series.
He's hooping, and he's still in the playoffs, and he's a big part of that. So, like, you know, Bagley is just, as we talked about, he's had some stuff out of his control, you know.
Timing in life is everything, so.
Yeah, no, very true. So.
Big year coming, though, Marv.
We'll be back next week. We appreciate y'all. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts. Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, go to leave your reviews, drop those 5-star reviews. Stay safe. Until next time, we'll see you guys later. And as always, a special thanks to our producers, Josh Dodd and Jasmine Plata, our audio editor, Misha Jones, our production manager, Sean Sel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart, our general manager, Donnie Kwok. This is a production of Complex Networks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.